This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we can gather to hear from you what it is that is in your heart for the church here in Utrecht and for the city of Utrecht. In the name of Jesus, we are here as your people. My prayer is that you may speak to us in a special way. In the name of Jesus, may you use me as a vessel to deliver your message to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming today. We thank God for you. I want us to hear the word of God in a few minutes, then we will depart. Today, we will speak about evangelism. So my topic is the Great Commission message Jesus left with us, which was, go ye to the entire world and preach the message. I don't know where you will go, but the message is, go ye. This one is coming from the book of Matthew chapter 28. From verse 18 to 20, which says, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always and to the end of the world. Amen. So this was Jesus after raising from the dead, and he's meeting his disciples. Then he has a message for them before ascending to heaven. That power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Which power was he talking about? Jesus had already conquered death. He was saying, like, this power I transfer to you. Go therefore and continue the ministry which I was doing when I was in the earth. Then he gives us one promise, that I am with you always and to the end of the world. And when you look at the previous messages which have been preached, you will realize that there is some consistency. Geoffrey was speaking about mission work, and Eric also spoke about salvation. And our brother, Christoph, also talked about having in our agenda the plan to do the work of God. And I want us to look at some biblical examples of people who were used by the Lord to drive the agenda of evangelism. And I will start with the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 4. The Bible says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Verse 4 says, and Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram by then was a pagan. The Lord calls him and tells him, like, leave your land, your people, go to a land that I will show you. And in obedience, Abraham reacts to the call of the Lord, and he moves together with his family and with his nephew, Lot, from Haran, I think to the land of Uz. And when you read the Old Testament from Genesis, you will realize like this is the beginning of the journey of salvation for the children of Israel, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way to the time of Jesus. The other character I want us to look at before we close is Jonah. Two people, different reactions. This is Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me.'" Verse 3 says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." So this is Jonah, a prophet. The Lord calls him and tells him, "I'm sending you to Nineveh to go and evangelize to them. Tell them to leave their evil and follow my commandments." But then this guy decides like, "I am not going. I'm not going to do this." And then he flees away from the presence of the Lord. And instead of going to Nineveh, he boards a ship and goes to Tarshish. And we know the story, what happened. Like there was a lot of destruction of property belonging to the owners of the ship. And they tied Jonah, threw him the sea, was swallowed by a fish. And then for 3 days, he was in the belly of the fish. And in the belly, he was repenting. The Lord forgave him. And he commanded the fish to take Jonah to Nineveh. This guy was fleeing from the presence of the Lord to go to Tarshish. Then he swallowed and taken to the place where he was not willing to go. And verse chapter 3, which forms the core of my message, I start with first one, which says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, 'Yet 14 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' The people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them all." Second time, the Lord calls him, go to Nineveh. God still has a plan for Nineveh. Then he tells him, go and call against the city, for their evil is exceeding in my eyes. And then Jonah went, and then he started preaching, "Repent, for after 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." And the people believed the word of God. They called a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them all to the least. When you look at the Bible history, you realize like putting on sackcloth was a sign of surrender. They would have put on sackcloth, seat by the ashes. You know, ashes are symbolic of destruction. Like, yeah, I am nothing. It was a sign of surrender. It was a sign of humility. And they fasted and they repented after hearing the message. I want you to ask yourself a question. Had Jonah not gone to Nineveh, would Nineveh have been destroyed, or the Lord would have saved Nineveh? I can't find the answer in the Bible, but I want you to think, if he never went there, would this city be destroyed, or the Lord would have spared the city, or he would have looked for another person and sent him there? I really don't know. And then verse 6 says, the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe. This one was a kingly robe, a very royal diadem. And he covered himself with sackcloth and sat in the ashes. He was very remorseful and had a very repentant heart. And he issues a proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Let neither man nor beast, herd or flock test anything. Let them not feed or drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let them call out mightily to God. This was one of the greatest fasts I've found in the Bible, where like people fasted for 3 days. And even animals, like for 3 days. It was like, let every person and every animal pray to the Lord. And then it goes on to say, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish. The Bible says, and God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way. God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. The Lord calls Jonah, sends him. Jonah is disobedient, he doesn't go. The Lord has plan B. Takes him by force to the place he refused to go. And then he proclaims the message. And the people repent and they change. So we can see how obedience of a single man saved a generation from destruction. A whole city. Imagine you are sent to Utrecht to come and proclaim against Utrecht, and you don't go. Or you are sent and then you go. The Lord saves all the people in Utrecht after repenting because you were obedient enough to go. This is a message for us today, that we ought to be obedient of what the Lord commands us to do. He's sending you out to those people, to those classmates, those work colleagues, telling you, proclaim the message. It doesn't matter whether they hear, because it wasn't Jonah's problem if the people of Nineveh had and failed to repent. But it was a problem if he never went to proclaim. When you read in the book of Ezekiel, I don't have it here in the slides. The Bible says, if you speak to your son or daughter about changing their evil ways, and they change, you have saved their lives. But if you do not speak to them to change, then their blood will be on your head. It's really a calling for us to reevaluate I know most of us have people, even in our own families, who are not born again, who do not know the Lord. But have you taken a step of faith and preached to them? I know you have prayed for them. You have trusted the Lord to change them. But how will they change if you don't speak to them? You need to speak to them. You need to stand in the gap. And evangelism is not for specific people. When you read Matthew 28, Jesus was telling us how to go. Me and you and everyone to speak. The good thing is, like, even if you are scared, you are not motivated, he says, I am with you. Let's continue a little bit before we stop. And Jesus set a very good example for us. See this in Matthew 9:36. The Bible says, Jesus went throughout the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And Derek quoted this verse last Sunday, but one. Jesus had compassion for the crowds. It is my prayer today that we will be moved with compassion like the way Jesus was moved for your colleagues, for your friends, and speak to them. And I know some of us, it would be a shame if you have a friend who doesn't know that you are born again. Like you live with them, but you don't show it. You don't show Christ in you. Be ashamed. And the Bible says he was moved by compassion because they were harassed and helpless. Sin can harass people. We know that. Wickedness can harass people. Jesus was not concerned about the harassment of them, but he was moved with compassion and he wanted to help them. He healed the sick. He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. He proclaimed freedom from every affliction. This should be our message all the days of our lives. Proclaiming the gospel that the Lord is coming. The Lord wants us to inherit eternal life and helping the sick, healing the sick. And I want you to differentiate between, because this verse doesn't say Jesus was praying for the sick. He said he was healing the sick. And even when he tells the disciples to go, he doesn't tell them pray for the sick, he tells them heal the sick. So it's something in you when you get born again that you should just heal people who are afflicted by sicknesses. And Romans chapter 10, 13 to 15 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then how will they call on him whom they have not believed? Then how will they believe in him whom they have never heard? Some people have never heard the gospel. This week I was in Tilburg University and doing a study. And then I was in a company of three other friends of mine from Europe. And then they were atheists. I don't know whether true atheists or deluded atheists, or I don't know. But they were atheists. And then when we were having dinner in a conversation, one of them asked me, like, she actually told me she was watching a program where a lady was invoking evil spirits, like ghosts and everything. And she was saying, like, it's so weird that people believe in some things that they can't see. And then she asked me, do you believe in ghosts? And then I knew, like, this is a plan from the Lord that I should speak with them. I told her, like, I believe there are ghosts. Then she asked me, like, why do you believe there are ghosts? Because I believe there is God and there is Satan. And I asked her, do you believe? And she said, no, I'm an atheist. Then we spoke about atheism, their beliefs, whatever. And she was building a belief on that you should not believe in anything. You can't see with your eyes, which is really weird, because there are so many things that you can't see with your eyes, which you believe in. Like love, you can't touch, but you can feel it. Like intelligence, you can't see it, you can't feel it. You can just like imagine by people's actions that they are intelligent or fools. So we argued about it, and the other two friends joined, and then we disapproved the argument about atheism. And they said, perhaps there is God. And they asked me, like, how did you come to believe about God? While the in church, there's a lot of philophilia, there's a lot of sexism in the church, and they are not open to people, even the LGBT community. We talked about it. And then I told them, I used a metaphor like, by the fact you that there are fake mobile phones, doesn't mean there's no original mobile phone, right? There are churches which are doing evil, but there are good churches which are filled by the Holy Spirit. And this was the richest conversation I've ever had when I came to the Netherlands, about atheism, then to God, how Jesus came, and how the Holy Spirit works. An interesting question which made them like to question their own belief system was, why is God? They asked me, like, why is God presented as male in the Bible? And we say, he is God and not she is God. Then I told them, God is spirit. Spirits don't have sex. They are not, neither male or female. And then that intrigued them. And they asked me, like, his spirit, how do you even then communicate with the spirit? Which was very interesting. You have to become spiritual to speak with the spirit. And they are like, can we receive the spirit? I told them, but first you have to believe in Jesus before you receive the Holy Spirit. Then they told me, like, but Jesus seems to be too busy with 2 billion Christians. Jesus is everywhere. He's omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing. If you call him, he will just come. Then they told me, maybe, perhaps, we'll call on Jesus when we go back to our rooms. And for me, it was interesting. And now yesterday when we were coming back, they asked me, like, you said you're going to church. Do you sing in the choir? I told them I used to sing in the choir, not at the moment. And then one of the ladies told me, like, by the way, I started praying. One of the ladies from Poland. For me, I was so happy. So there is every avenue to speak to people about Christ. They told me, like, nobody has ever told them about God, evangelism, or anything. But for me, it was so interesting having this conversation. I was not prejudgmental or anything. Or when they said things which I know are not in the Bible, I was not prejudgmental. But I told them my thought process and what the Lord has revealed. So, people need to hear before they can believe. And when they believe, they will call upon the name of the Lord. It's not your problem whether the Lord will come or he doesn't come to them. Your work is to tell them they believe, they will call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord will save them. Then, continues to say, and how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? We need people to preach. You need to go out there and speak to one person. Then that person will come to Christ. Then he will be taught how to speak to another person. And then the chain will spread. And in that way, we will be able to reach many people. And how are they going to preach unless they are sent? We were already sent when Jesus told us to go ye into the entire world to preach. The Bible says, it is written, how beautiful are the feet that they preach good news. Good news is the message of salvation. There's none other message you can give people, a message of hope, peace, grace, like the message of salvation. That to me is good news. And your feet are beautiful if you go out to bring this good news to other people. And you don't need to go to the streets. Start with where you are. The Lord will always bring people. I remember when I used to work in Rotterdam, a guy came to me and asked me, like, why don't you take beer? What's the reason behind not taking beer? I told him, no, I've never taken it. Then he asked me, like, is it because of religion? I told him, I'm not religious. Then what are you? I told him, I'm a Christian. And he asked, oh, interesting. So what do you believe in Christianity? Don't you think that it's weird? Then they will always quote the evil things which are happening in church. Don't fight for the church. Don't start quarrels. Just preach what is true. Of course, there are fake churches, but it doesn't mean every other church is fake. Don't protect your church or your religion. Preach what is there. Salvation is about the heart, not about where you go to meet and gathering. Salvation is about the heart. Now, in that way, I was able to speak with him about salvation, Jesus, and whatever. Did he get born again? No. Is he going to invoke the name of the Lord? I don't know, but I did my part. And then Matthew 10, 5 to 8 says, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. This is the first I was defiling. Jesus never said you pray. He said, go and heal. It's something new. You are a healer. You just need out and live as a healer. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I know many people question the raising of dead, right? The Lord instructs you to raise the dead. He has a plan for that. Raise the dead. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go out there. Preach to the lost. Proclaiming the Lord has an intention to give them eternal life. Some of us are usually worried about what we will say or what we will speak when we go out there, or when colleagues bring up questions about our faith, our belief system, and how we can bring Christ in a way that is not offensive, in a way that is acceptable. There's not a specific way of bringing up Christ. Just bring Christ the way you are led by the Spirit. But there's one thing that the Lord has commanded us, that He is with us. I remember Jesus was speaking to His disciples one time, telling them, don't worry about the times you will be brought before governors or the authorities, about what you will speak or how you will defend yourself. But the Holy Spirit will teach you that time how you will say. You find in Luke 12:12, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself, what you should say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. People will always question our faith, because as it is now, and more so especially where we live in the Netherlands, I think we are the minority now. Many people don't believe anymore. And so we are the minority. And so it will oftentimes sound so stupid to be a Christian. I have felt it, like you are there, people are talking about how stupid the Christians are, and you know you are a Christian. You are just there. And it's like people are telling you to your face, you are a fool. But the Holy Spirit will always teach you what to say. I remember I was in a conversation where they were mocking Christians in the NAG, and talking evil about Christians. Then I told them, by the way, I am a Christian. I do not question your belief system. You say there is no God, or you don't believe in anything. That is still your belief system, that you believe there is nothing. But it is good to show some respect. So the Holy Spirit will always teach you what to say. If they bring questions about why reconcile a loving God with the evil that is in the world, with the sickness or whatever, the Holy Spirit will always teach you what to say at that particular moment. And when I was praying for the sermon this morning, I actually changed some slides to include what I felt from the Spirit. Was that some of us disregard themselves. Like you look too low on yourself. You don't think that you are good enough to speak to the people, to share the message of salvation with them. Then he gave me a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, which says, now in a great house there are not vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as only useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. The Lord just wants you to avail yourself. Don't just say, Lord, I am here. Use me. And on Tuesday when we were praying, I think the core message was like being ready to be used by the Lord. One of the verses was, who shall I send? That is, I think in Isaiah, who shall I send? And who shall go on before us? And the Bible says, one of them responded and said, yeah, I am, Lord. Use me. If the Lord wants us to be ready, used by him in all capacities. Just avail yourself. Don't compare yourselves with great evangelists, because you are going in your own unique way. The Lord will use you in your own unique way. Stop comparing yourself with Reinhard Bonnke. That was in grace from Bonnke. Go yourself and preach. Go as Ndelarey, not Dark Yan, Ndelarey, and preach the gospel. And I remember there was a young man called Gideon. The Lord had a plan for the Israelites when they were oppressed by the Midianites. And he called one particular young man who was he was the last born in his clan. He was coming from the tribe of Manasseh, and he was saying, "I am the least. Why did you choose me?" Like some of us say, "I am nothing. Why did you choose me?" This is Judges 6:14-16. It says, "And the Lord turned to him," that is Gideon, "and said to him, 'Go in this might of yours.'" Go in this might of yours. I like that. It doesn't say like go and preach, like the weight in Dinjek's phrase, preaches. It says go in the mighty of yours. And then, and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? Do I not send you? And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel?" Like some of us are saying, "How can we even do this?" Then he said, he continues to say, "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least of my father's house." The Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." Do you realize how the angel comes to him and says, "How are you, mighty man of valor?" It was like so rhetorical, right? A guy who is the weakest in his clan. But then the Lord says, "You are the mighty man of valor." The Lord said to him, "Go in this might of yours." Today I want to tell you that you are here in church or you are watching online. Go in the strength that you have. Go, and the Lord will bring salvation to that woman, to that man, to that young man in Utrecht or in the Netherlands through you. How sweet it is when you speak to a person about Christ, then they come to Christ, they are discipled, and then they are used by the Lord to pull other people to Christ. It's amazing. Let us go out there. And the promise that the Lord was giving us was in Romans 8, verse 11, my last verse. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you raised Christ Jesus from the dead, also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So the Lord is calling some of us mighty men of valor. Mighty men of valor. You are looking at yourself like a mighty man of valor inside, who is clothed on a skin of a weakly person. That doesn't matter. The Lord will use you to bring salvation to that sister and to that brother. And my last statement would be, if we had passion for the lost souls, if we were driven with compassion like Jesus was, there would be more joy in heaven and less weeping, wailing now. go out there and touch a life. Go out there and speak. Don't have to show yourself on Thursday. Just speak to even the people who are around you. Just create an environment where you can share. And don't be confined to the mentality of wanting to preach and there by there a person will give their lives to Christ. Sometimes it won't work out that way. It may take some time, you preach, and then you meet another day for coffee, and again and again and again, and the person comes. But remember, if that is the way to go, you preach and then they come to Christ, I think I would not be in Christ. Because the evangelist had to preach to me time and again. Preach today, come another day, preach. Come another day, preach. Before I believed. So other times it will be like that. But let us be driven by compassion for the lost souls. And I will pray, and then we will play one song by Leyland. The Tears of the Saints. Play this one through YouTube. And as you read through the lyrics, as you pray through the song, ask the Lord, what can I do that I may be used by you? What can I do? How can I do this? I know you have promised me you are with me. But how can I do this? And then we will sing one last song. And then we will be done. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for hearing your word today. Bible says that your word does not leave your throne in vain, but it will accomplish every purpose that you have set for it. Like the way the rain does not leave the clouds in vain, but it waters the earth to bring fruit. I pray that this word will bring fruit in our lives, 100-fold, 80%, and even 70%, to the glory and honor of your name. And I pray as we go out there, as we speak to our colleagues, as we speak to our classmates, as we speak to our friends about you, that you will empower us. Your word has told us you are with us till the end of the ages. And I pray that you will fill us by your spirit, that we will be driven by compassion, that you will break our hearts for what breaks yours. When you saw the multitudes, the word, your word says that you were moved with compassion because they looked like people who were harassed and messed up. Lord, we will be driven by compassion for this generation, for the people in Utrecht, for the people in the Netherlands, and even the countries where we come from. Lord, we will be totally sold out to speak your word. May you go with us and lead us. For them that need the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I speak this in Jesus' name. The Lord, you will fill them with your spirit, and let the gift start flowing, the gift of healing, working of miracles, speaking in new tongues, interpretation, wisdom, word of knowledge, word of faith. Father, may you fill them to the brim. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.